Good morning, everyone. Today we will be looking in the book of Genesis, chapter 45. We'll actually be looking throughout 37 to 45, but I'll be reading from 45, first 11 verses. Let us hear God's word. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "You sold me into Egypt, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord over all of his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is life, Lord. We thank you that you are the God of truth and the God of life. We thank you that you have sent us the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus has given all of his life, has suffered and died so that we can be brought back to you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you've sent us your Spirit to open our eyes, to enlighten our hearts, Lord, to give us understanding, Lord, that we may love you, that we may trust you, that we, Lord, may understand more and more of your greatness. We ask that you would humble us. We ask, Lord God, that you would cause us, Lord, to understand you more, that we, Lord, may live our lives for your honor and for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I haven't been in the pulpit for a few weeks, but when... I'm not moving that. But over the last few times that I have been preaching, I've been preaching on forgiveness, and I've been going through different passages because forgiveness is the foundation of why we're here. If God doesn't forgive, then all of us are done, because we all need forgiveness. So I wanted to show us forgiveness from different angles so we can get a little bit clearer idea of what forgiveness is. And if... as I looked through that, I thought, well, if there was a common denominator for us, anyhow, I believe the common denominator that we could see in the different passages that I gave is that if the person who has offended you, if they come and they confess and they repent of their sins, then Jesus tells us that forgiveness is mandatory. You must forgive. Now, this might cause a nagging question to come up, and then we ask, well, does that mean that we just have to sit back and let people repeatedly abuse us? You know, in our families, people just going to sin against us and we'll just have a welcome sign. Just come on and dish me up all the abuse I can handle. Does forgiveness automatically mean that trust is restored? Does forgiveness mean that the relationship is automatically exactly what it was before the offense was given? Well, as we look at our passage today, we see a 40-year-old man, Joseph. or he's getting close to 40 anyhow. And we see Joseph, he's forgiving his brothers of their sins, and we see this amazing story of reconciliation where Joseph is now calling all of his brothers back to himself. And what I want us to do is I want us to take us back a little in time, because the story becomes even more amazing when you see that this wasn't just a little squabble that happened among brothers. The sin that Joseph's brothers did against him was something that just radically changed Joseph's life forever. It was a huge sin. It was the sin that when we look back in the parable of 2 or 3 weeks ago, Tim talked to me afterwards. The 10,000 talents that the Lord forgives us, that shows an infinite number. And a lot of times, people will take the other amount and, oh, that's just like $5. No, it wasn't $5. The one servant who grabbed the other one says, you owe me 100 denarii. 100 denarii was a lot of money. Right? It was something that hurt. This sin hurt Joseph. So let's go back in time. We're going to go back 20 years in time. So now go back with me. And we see Joseph, he's a young man now. He's 17 years old. We have 17-year-old people in our midst, right? Full of life, full of spit and vinegar, right? Full of promise, got all this energy. His dad was grooming him to be in a management position in the family business. He was a shoe-in for the vice presidency. And not only did Joseph's dad favor Joseph, but God favored Joseph. Right? Joseph, he was telling all his brothers the dreams. God said, I'm going to be great. And he says, you guys are going to bow down to me. Now, anyone of you have siblings, now imagine your siblings telling you that. You know, God told me that you're going to be bowing down at my feet. And you'd be like, well, not likely. Not in this lifetime. And then all of a sudden we see tragedy strikes. Because we're told that Joseph's brothers, they hated Joseph. Why did they hate Joseph? Because he was such a rotten scoundrel? No, they hated him because they saw that their dad loved him more than the rest of them. And they didn't like his dreams either. They didn't like the dreams that they're going to be bowing down. So instead of them fighting against this sin of envy and jealousy that was raging in them, that was eating at them, the brothers decided, we're going to demote Joseph. We're not going to serve Joseph. So we're told that when dad wasn't watching, they're off in the field, the brothers, 10 to 1. Now, unless you're Jet Li or some other martial artist, like you watch in the movies, you'll watch one guy take out 10 guys. That doesn't happen too often. So you can imagine Joseph got the beating of a lifetime. His brothers beat him. They stripped him of his coat of honor because the dad gave Joseph this coat of honor, like a t-shirt saying, I'm dad's favorite. So they didn't like that, so they tore that off of him. They beat him, they threw him in a pit, and eventually they sold him into slavery, gave him a kiss goodbye, and it was good riddance Joseph. Right, we're done with him. And then, to make sure that their dad never did a search and rescue mission to go into Egypt to find Joseph, and also to cover their own nasty deed, they took Joseph's coat, they dipped it in blood, and they came with alligator or crocodile tears. And Joseph got killed by an animal, Dad. Right? Now, Dad, he's never going to go look for Joseph anymore, is he? Joseph is done. Joseph is gone. And then they watched as their dad wept and was in misery for years and years and years. And they could have comforted the dad like that by just telling him the truth. But they never did. Well, they did. Eventually. And suddenly, Joseph found that he was living a new life. In Egypt, Joseph found that he was no longer the favorite son. No longer did it seem like he had a bright future in front of him. No longer now was he being groomed for a managerial or supervisor position. In the same way, we see that God, he's still working Joseph up. No longer did it seem that Joseph had the easy pencil pusher life. Now, he's a slave. Now Joseph is trapped in a life that he didn't ask for. Do any of you feel like that? Now Joseph is working a job that he didn't want. Anyone here like that? He was separated from his closest family members, Dad and Benjamin. Joseph spent the next 13 years of his life in slavery and in jail. The reason why he's in jail, by the way, is because sometimes we think, well, once we walk faithfully, I'm walking faithfully before the Lord. And we think, well, because of that, there will be no hardships come in my life. Well, Joseph walked faithfully before God, and his master's wife gave a false charge that Joseph tried to rape her, which was a bald-faced lie. Joseph ends up going and spending the rest of his time there now for the next however many 10 years now in prison. And he was there because of other people's hurtful words, other people's hurtful actions to him. And can any of us relate with that? Has anyone lied about you and all of a sudden you find that your reputation or your name now has been tarnished? Or someone has said or done something and all of a sudden the relationships you had with family or with certain friends, it just wasn't the same ever again. Someone has said something or done something that's caused you to lose your job or caused you to lose business or caused you to lose money. And as we look at this, we need to ask, can I relate with Joseph? Think, every day Joseph woke up, he was a slave. And he would be reminded of his brother's sin. He would be reminded of their cruel taunts, of their fists beating him, kicking him, their fingers ripping off his robe. He would hear their laughing at him as he was suffering, as he pleaded and begged for mercy. They would hear his taunting and their mocking against him. And here's the question we have to ask. Could Joseph have been consumed? Could he have been eaten by hatred and bitterness? He was a stinking slave in a foreign country, and he could say to himself every day, the only reason why I'm here is that miserable lot of jealous brothers that I have who sent me here. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what exactly is going on inside of Joseph's heart. But did Joseph, while he was a slave, while he was in prison, do you think he ever struggled with depression, with bitterness, with hatred? Do you ever think that he ever just thought, if I could get my hands on them, I would like to pay them back? Well, you know, the Bible says, no temptation has seized you except what is common. Right? Sometimes we can read about the Bible characters here and think, oh, Joseph, he had never struggled with that. I think Joseph did struggle with these things, but by God's grace, we see that Joseph, he overcame these temptations. Joseph served God faithfully wherever he was, as a slave in prison. And to us, brothers and sisters in the Lord, God promises that he works out all things together for good, for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. But I ask you the question, does that mean that all things that have happened in your life, do they always feel good? Right? And if you've lost a job, if you are going through sickness, if you've lost loved ones, can I look at those and think, woohoo, that just feels great. No, but God says, but I do work it together for the good. And for many things in our lives, we're going to have to wait until we get to glory before we stand before our God who loves us to see the bigger picture. But here's the one thing I want you to, if you've never journaled some things that have happened in your life where you've gone through misery, and then months or years later you look back and think, wow, if this wouldn't have happened, then I never would have met this person. Or if this would have happened, this would have never happened. This blessing wouldn't have happened. If you have these things in your life, write them down. Because then in the future when you go through struggles, God's giving you ammunition to show, I am faithful. Right? My buddy Aaron is here. I can remember Aaron telling me years ago when we worked out in Red Deer, when he was 13 years old, his parents decided they were going to move to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Now, that would make anyone cry. And Aaron, he did. He cried, right? He had all his friends. And so Aaron had to move to a new town, right? No one knew him, and he went through a lot of hard struggles. But then Aaron told me that he actually had met people who became very foundational to share Jesus with him. Now, he didn't become a Christian then, but they were foundational in bringing him closer to the Lord. And then after 3 years, when Aaron sort of had a life in Moose Jaw, his parents decided that we're going to move back to Red Deer. Again, Aaron said it was just the tears of, no, how can this ever be for my good? But God works it out. And I'm sure if you ask Aaron now, Aaron, was that a blessing? Aaron sees it as a blessing. I remember meeting a young man 2 years ago who was heartbroken because a relationship that he had had ended. It's really hard when the relationship ends and your heart's broken to see how can this lead to my good. Well, Brad's getting married here in less than a month. Praise God that his plans are good, even though we may not understand it at the time. God is good, and he plans what is good for us. Joseph, did he ever say, well, he was a slave while he was in his jail cell, God, why am I a slave? Why am I in prison? What's the point to all my struggles and sufferings? Of course he did. And then God shows him why. All of a sudden, a couple of the king's servants come into the jail cell. Right? They both have this dream. They're disturbed. Joseph interprets the dream, says to the butler, hey, good news, you're going to live in 3 days. Baker, bummer, you're not. Right? But then he says to the baker, remember me. Right? Please remember me when you stand before Pharaoh. Now remember, the butler, he forgets. And that error cost Joseph 2 more years in jail. And then all of a sudden the Pharaoh starts having bad dreams. The butler remembers, oh, I remember the guy in jail. He interpreted dreams. Joseph is pulled out of jail. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams. He says, your 2 dreams are actually one. God said that he's going to bring prosperity upon Egypt. Just amazing prosperity. 7 years of it. And then he's going to bring 7 years of just horrible famine. By the way, everyone, both of them were from God. Right? We might be going through financial struggles. God has not left the throne. He still says, I'm here. I'm in control. And we need to be encouraged with that. So all of a sudden, Joseph is, by Pharaoh and by God's hand, is pulled out of jail. He's put in second command over Egypt. He's put in charge of storing up all of the food of Egypt during the 7 good years. And then during the 7 bad years, he's in charge of distributing the food to all those who are going to come and ask for it. And then all of a sudden we see, coming from a different angle, we look back and we see that Jacob and his boys, they need food. So Daddy Jacob, he says to the brothers, you better go down to Egypt and get food. And as we read this, we see the plot thicken. We can think, oh, this is going to be good. Right? And this is where you have to ask yourself now, if you were Joseph, how would you handle this? Right? These dirty weasels who just made your life miserable, and now it's time for payback. And here's what we need to remember. Forgiveness. How do we forgive? Forgiveness is you handing the offender and their debt, their sin that they've done against you, you handing them over to God. Right? Not holding hatred against them. You want to seek them good. But remember, the forgiveness doesn't automatically mean fully restored trust, and it doesn't mean fully restored fellowship. Not automatically. Because when we look at Joseph's life, Joseph was a man who loved God. He immediately began to show his mother's or his brother's grace and truth. And this is what I want you to guys, I'm just going through this. But look from chapters 42 to 44 of Genesis. Because this is showing us a part where Joseph, he starts putting his brothers through a lengthy character test. Before there's going to be reconciliation and a full restoration of this relationship, Joseph is going to put his brothers through a character test. So I want us to go through and just see some of the elements of this character test. So the first thing that Joseph does, his brothers come before him for food. The first thing that Joseph does is he keeps his identity hidden. He doesn't reveal to his brothers who he is right away so that he can watch their behavior. He wants to see what's going to go on in these guys' life. Now, some people say, well, come on, they're not going to recognize their brother. Remember, this is 20 years have gone by. Joseph has gone from 17 to 40. I just came back from my 25-year reunion. I'll tell you right now, people change, right? you look different from 17 to, and I look at my own pictures, right? I look a lot different, right? As a letter carrier, I've been on a walk for 2 years, and in that 2 year time, I had people ask me probably 3 or 4 times, oh, are you the new guy? You know why they ask if I'm the new guy? Because in the winter time, I'd let my hair grow and I'd shave my goatee off. Right? And then in the summer, I would let my goatee grow and I'd shave my head bald. And that was all it took for people to think I was the new guy. All of a sudden, I could understand why Superman could put on a pair of glasses and all of a sudden he was just Clark Kent. No one could figure out who he was, right? So anyhow, here we have Joseph. He's before the brothers, but remember, they're not expecting that he's the king or one, the prime minister of Egypt either, right? So, he keeps his identity hidden. The next thing he does is he puts obstacles before them. How would they react? What would be their real character in these things? So what are some of the obstacles? Well, the first thing he does is imagine everyone standing before him coming for food, and Joseph hands food, brothers turn in line, you're spies! We're not spies. You're spies, right? You're going to jail. So the next thing you know, they get thrown into jail for 3 days. Remember, by their action, Joseph was in jail for years. So 3 days is actually, it's a pretty lenient, right? But again, he's testing them. He's adding pressure. He's adding fear to the situation, because then all of a sudden the real us starts coming out. Right? When everything's calm, we can put on a good act, right? But when the trials and the hardships come, then our true nature starts coming out. So Joseph, he starts turning on the heat a little bit. Then Joseph makes his brothers a deal. And in the deal, as you guys read through this, go home and read through it. I want you to see that he's showing them love and mercy. He's doing them good. He's saying, now I've pulled you out of jail, now I'm going to send you home with food for the families. He's doing them good. The character test isn't over yet. Right? There isn't restitution. There isn't restoration yet. But God is still working in Joseph, where Joseph says, I'm still going to do you good. I'm still going to show you grace and mercy. But here's the catch. 9 of you get to go home. Simeon, you stay. You're going to be bound. So you have Simeon bound as a slave, as Joseph was bound years before. Simeon goes into jail. If you don't bring your youngest brother back, if you don't bring Benjamin back, then Simeon, he stays. Right? Now here is the test. What would the brothers do? 20 plus years ago, they were more concerned about their own status, about their own whims. They were willing to sell their brother into slavery. Now, what would they do? Would they desert Simeon? Because you know what? They had no guarantees. What happens if they brought back their youngest brother and this prime minister, he had them enslaved anyhow? What happens if they brought back their younger brother and he had them killed? That's the test. Are they going to be looking out for their own skin? Or are they going to be looking out for the concern of their brother? This is a test. Joseph is testing his brothers. The third thing that Joseph does is he speaks to them through an interpreter. Now, remember, Joseph is raised in the same family as these guys. His mother tongue is Hebrew. He understands exactly what they're saying. It's not like he's been gone in Egypt so long, all of a sudden he's like, No, he understands the language. But what he understands is, if they don't think that I understand the language, then they're going to freely talk in my presence, and I can start to hear what their heart is. And I'm going to read to us one of the things that he heard. In Genesis 42, verses 18 to 24, it says, then Joseph said to them the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother to me, so that your words will be verified, and you will not die. So I just went through that. And they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty of our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered and said, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy? And you wouldn't listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter, and Joseph turned himself away from them and wept Then he returned to them again and talked with them, but he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Imagine what that has just done to your heart if you're Joseph. Right? Your brothers just did this horrible, grievous sin to you years ago, and now all of a sudden, you know that they're talking, but they don't think that you can understand, and now they're saying, we shouldn't have done that. We heard his grief. We heard the anguish of his soul. We shouldn't have done this. And then all of a sudden you heard one of your brothers actually wasn't on that team. Right? He was like, didn't I tell you we shouldn't have done? And I believe that Joseph, when he's hearing this, he's hearing these confessions, and his heart is melting, obviously. He's going and weeping. But the test continues. Now it's the honesty test. The brothers said that they were honest men. Joseph remembered them as cruel, wicked, envious, and dishonest men. So dishonest that they basically kidnapped him and they sold him. They stole his life from him. But Joseph is going to give them a test to see, is there a change? Right? So the money that they brought for the food, Joseph, he has that thrown back in their sacks. Now, what are they going to do? What do we do when something like that happens, right? You get paid too much money at the till, or something happens in business deals and all of a sudden there's more money. No one's ever going to see. What do we do in situations like that? Do we do what the brothers ended up doing here, bringing the money back, or do we think? Okay? Well, this is what Joseph is trying to test. So the boys go home. They tell their dad, Israel, Jacob, the whole sad story. Dad, the guy thought we were spies. He threw us in jail for 3 days. We came home, the money's in our bags. Like, everything's going against us. And now, Simeon, he's still in jail. And we're not going to be able to get him out of jail unless you give Benjamin to us and we can go back. So Simeon can be released. And Jacob refuses. I want that to sink home with us, right? Like, favoritism is, it can be a horrible thing in a sense, but I want you to imagine now, we are told that they were given a lot of food, and now as that food finally dwindled away where they had nothing left, finally dad goes and says, you guys got to go and get more food. We need more food. And the brothers said, we can't. The guy told us, unless we bring Benjamin, we're not going to get any more food. Remember, Simeon is in a jail cell. All the while that they're back at the farm eating the food, dad knows it now. The brothers know it. It's like life's going on. Well, Simeon now is in jail. So the brothers say, he's not going to give us any food. We need Benjamin. So finally, we see Judah stands up and Judah plays the man. Judah says, Dad, I'm going to make you a deal. He says, I will be a surety for Benjamin. He says, you hold me directly responsible. If something happens or he doesn't come back, you can put the blame on me forever. And so Jacob agrees. Okay, go. So they take the youngest brother, Benjamin. They return to Egypt. And we see now that Joseph, he turns the heat up. He makes the test more difficult. He tests the brothers in the very area that fueled their hatred, their envy 20 plus years ago. Number 5, I call the favoritism test. They come into the kingdom, right? Joseph's servant says, come on, you get to come to the palace. You get to eat some food, right? So they're all like, woohoo! And all of a sudden they notice that they're seated in their eating arrangement are from the oldest all the way down to the youngest. That's weird. Oh, well. And then all of a sudden, Benjamin comes out and everyone's getting their food and same. Benjamin's just like, wow, that Benjamin, man, he hit the jackpot 5 times as much. Right? What's going on? Wanting to see, how are the brothers going to respond to this? How are they going to respond to the youngest Benjamin, right? He's going to get extra blessings. He's going to get favoritism. What's it going to do to the brothers? Will their jealousy and envy, will it start eating at them? Or have they changed? Has there been a change of heart? And then finally, we have the final exam. The brothers are put through their final character test. After their brother has been 5 times favored, they're all sent home with abundant provisions, as much as they could carry. And then Joseph, he does a little plant job. He secretly puts his silver cup in one of the sacks. Tie him up, and off they go. So the brothers are riding out of town all of a sudden. Whee! right? They get pulled over by the police right out of town, lights flashing. You guys stole from the prime minister. Oh, we didn't. We're honest. Remember? We gave the money back. Well, we've got to check anyhow. And whoever steals it is a slave. Well, that's fair. Okay, because they're all thinking no one stole. So again, they start opening all the sacks. Nothing. See? Nothing. See? See? Finally, Benjamin's. See? No! Right? All of a sudden, no! What happened? Benjamin, I didn't do it, right? Benjamin's going to be the slave. Right? Life's over. What will the brothers do? Are they going to leave this favorite son to rot in jail, to rot in Egypt like they did Joseph? Or have they changed? Has God been doing a work in their heart over the years, over these long, many years? Sometimes it's easy for us to do that, right? Like, I can see how God's been doing a work in my heart. But then how about someone who I've had a rift with in the past? Isn't it funny how God can do a work in my heart, but just automatically He couldn't be doing a work in the other person's heart? Really? God's limited to me? No. God's working in His people, right? So as much as God can be doing a work in me, God can be doing a work in someone else's life as well. So this is what Joseph is looking for. And all of a sudden, Judah steps up and speaks to Joseph, and he says, If this young guy doesn't come back, if Benjamin doesn't go back to his dad is going to die of grief. His dad is going to perish with grief. And Joseph starts hearing now his heart. And he's more concerned about Benjamin and his dad than he is his own self. And remember, Judah was the guy whose idea was to, hey, let's sell Joseph the weasel into slavery in Egypt. That was... Right? And all of a sudden, Joseph, he's looking at a different Judah now. And then, Judah goes on and he says, and I'll take his place. It's not just, don't send him there. He says, no, I will be your slave. Let him go free. And all of a sudden, Joseph is convinced. This isn't just merely a confession with the lips. This guy has changed. It's repentance. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. Joseph then reveals his true identity. I'm your brother. I'm Joseph, your brother. And we see that there's a momentary almost meltdown. The brother, like, oh, you're kidding. But then, instead of receiving judgment and punishment, the process of reconciliation and restoration starts to come. Come close to me. Not so I can beat you. So I can hug you and I love you. And let's bring the whole family to Egypt. I'm going to support you. I'm going to provide for you. Everything that God has put into my hands for good, I'm going to bless you with now. And we see that Joseph forgives and he seeks to bring reconciliation to those who wronged him because Joseph trusted that his God was in control of the whole thing. God's plan was to bring blessing out of suffering, and this is something that only the all-wise, all-loving and all-powerful God can do. That's our God. He's our God. And as we look at Joseph, God gives us a glimpse of our Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph was rejected by his brothers, the tribes of Israel, and he was rejected because he was the son in whom the Father was most favored before the Father. Jesus is God's one-of-a-kind special son. He's the son whom the Father was so pleased with that at his baptism he says, this is my son in whom I am very well pleased. And Jesus came to his own Israel, and Israel rejected him. Joseph lived a life of humility, suffering, trusting in God's plan, his father thinking him dead. Finally, Joseph is exalted to the place of authority at Pharaoh's right hand, where he saved the world from destruction and death by feeding millions of people. Jesus, God the Son, humbled himself and came into our world. He lived a life of suffering, ultimately suffered the horrible, humiliating death on the cross. He just didn't seem dead in his father's eyes. He did die in his father's eyes. And that isn't the end of the story. He arose, he ascended, he's at God the Father's right hand, and he rules the kingdom. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth is mine. And now by Jesus' broken body, by his shed blood, he feeds billions of people. All those who come to Jesus repenting of their sins, trusting in him, receive eternal life. Jesus says, I'm the bread of heaven. I'm the living water. And as Christians, we need to learn how to forgive quickly. We need to learn how to cast off bitterness and hatred quickly by handing the offender over into the hands of the God who sees all and who we know will judge justly. But forgiveness doesn't mean that we lack discernment. People can put on an act for a short time, but over the long haul, through the various areas of their life and their workings, through various trials, people's true character will shine forth, whether it's for good or for bad. And I do believe that the fruits of repentance, when the people were coming to John's baptism, John said, bring forth the fruits of repentance. Don't just let repentance be on your mouth. Let's see it. I want to see it in your lives. But in the end, I'll end it with this. When we look at the life of Joseph, it has to encourage us to be patient. Because God's work of changing us, it just doesn't happen in minutes or hours. It's a lifetime that God uses to take you and to shape you and mold you into the image of Jesus. And ultimately, it's completed. The Bible says, when we see Jesus, we will be as he is. And so, as Doug Wilson said, let's stop judging ourselves according to the snapshot. Right? Because if you take snapshots of my life, you're going to just see some horrible things. But how about the full feature picture? When you look at someone's whole life, then all of a sudden you can see a little bit different picture. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive. We thank you, Lord, that you forgive and you grant us repentance. You reconcile us back to yourself through the blood of your Son. And Lord, that you fully restore the relationship between yourself and us through Jesus. Lord, teach us to be like you. We ask that you would cause our hearts to grow closer together. Teach us to be forgiving and merciful as you are. And teach us to be patient as you are patient. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.